62 degrees for both Kenosha and Racine under a gray sky. 58 for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg up next. Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenoshans who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show on WGTD HD. I'm Gregory Berg. I'm exceptionally excited about today's morning show. I think it's a really important topic, and it could not be more timely. The headlines as of late have been filled with the stories of the transition of Bruce Jenner, one of the world's most famous athletes, from man to woman. And that coverage has been extensive and to some extent probably positive, but also a bit sensationalistic, and there are probably a lot of ways in which the coverage has not been particularly helpful in terms of helping us understand what is experienced by someone who experiences this kind of, shall we call it, gender displacement, where they, in a sense, are born into one body of one gender, but feel, in fact, like they are to be another gender, feel emotionally and mentally as though they are another gender, and in one way or another seek to make that transition. I'm very excited about the opportunity to sit across the table from someone who I've known for a number of years, Alex John. Alex John has been a student at Carthage College, and I knew Alex even before that because of him being a very good friend of very good friends of mine. As a matter of fact, I saw Alex on stage during high school in a performance of the musical Rent. It's a performance delivered that I won't soon forget. But now Alex John joins us here because of the story of Alex's transition from man to woman. And this is also a story being told in a new blog called Trans Adventure in Wisco. And with this, we can follow Alex's journey and find out more about what has led Alex to this place. And I'm really grateful to you, Alex John, for joining me today on this edition of The Morning Show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Glad to have you here. I do appreciate it. I'm going to get one matter out of the way right now, which is the matter of pronouns and the fact that, for instance, when I saw you in Rent at Walden, as far as I know, you were a he. I mean, and to the world, you were a he. So I feel like saying, and I saw him in Rent and so on. And so I'm trying to be sensitive, and probably more than once I'll slip at some point. And one of the things I really appreciated, and I think it was your second blog, mm-hmm. was where you kind of talked about that whole matter of pronouns. And I think to a large extent you set all of us to ease, those of us who know you and care about you, that you know, your head's not going to explode if one of us kind of misuses a pronoun. So anyway, but I wonder if you could just talk for about that for just a moment, kind of the whole matter of how to talk about this and how you hope people you know and care about will talk with you about this, and how we'll talk about it in this conversation when it comes even to such a matter as what we call you, and are you already a her or a him to a her, or should we just not use pronouns at all? What do you want us to know about this kind of thorny matter?
Yeah, pronouns, it's an incredibly important subject for, especially for trans people. I was born a man, and I personally don't identify as a man. And when I first came out as trans, pronouns really didn't matter to me because everyone didn't know. And so I was comfortable using both with the people that did know and the ones that didn't. Now that I've publicly come out and I've really fully accepted myself and my trans identity and I'm excited to start this growth and transition, I'm fully using female pronouns, so only she and her. So what that means is I'm simply asking for respect and validation of people acknowledging that I am a woman, and that's how I see myself. And no matter what stage of the transition I am, that's how I feel. And so when you are respecting someone's pronouns and calling them by the one that they identify as, it's incredibly validating for them. Mm. And it feels like you actually care and listen. And obviously, there's going to be slip-ups. We're all human. It's not something that happens overnight. It's gradual. We work towards it. But as long as you're respectful and you actually genuinely care, it's affirming and it's understandable to right. use them. So for me personally, I'm sticking to she and her pronouns.
Hmm. Very good. And I'll do my best to remember that. I hope you trust that will be as my earnest effort to respect your wishes and so on. You're actually the third person that I know who has, I had a voice student who had fully made the transition at the time that I knew her. She was already her, but had been him before that. And then I have another voice student who, as far as I know, is still in the transition from male to female. And I remember in a conversation with this person's mother that I, at one point, just glancingly referred to him. And she just, in her response to my question or observation, pointedly but gently but firmly used her instead. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that's going to be one part of this journey, is not only your own journey, but taking the rest of us along on this journey with you.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted to make my journey so public, is when someone comes out as trans, it's not only affecting them. It's incredibly hard to accept yourself in today's society in general, but it's affecting everyone around me. My family, my friends, they're all have to accept this new me. And so I understand that I'm not the only one going through these changes. And so I don't expect everyone to kind of flip overnight. I expect them to grow with me and share with me. And I love when people have questions or concerns or things that they don't understand. I love when I can give clarification and we can grow together.
So let's find out a little bit about the origins of this, just how far back you have experienced this. I mean, and I'm not sure what
dysphoria.
The best dysphoria. Okay.
Gender dysphoria.
I guess I have heard that term. I mean, for instance, when you reach as far back as you can into the earliest childhood memories that you have, was this a part of even your earliest childhood as far as you remember? Or is that so far back it's really hard to untangle that?
What I would say is I've always been comfortable in my personality. I've been very comfortable in knowing who I am in my mind. When I was younger, I didn't know what transgender was. I didn't know anything about it. And I grew up in the late 90s. I was born in 93. And so this wasn't really talked about, especially in our small southeastern Wisconsin culture. But I had always known that I was effeminate. I was a very effeminate person in general. And I was comfortable with my effemininity. But I remember at an early age having my gender policed. And having my expression really policed by my family, my peers, my teachers, and this idea that, you know, boys act one way, girls act another. And I really had always been comfortable in my femininity. And so it was very striking to have that part of my expression taken down from an early age. And so I knew I was different.
Right. So in other words, I mean, I'm going to put the most positive spin on it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's the best way to think about it. But to put the most positive spin on it, people who cared about you and loved
yes.
you, probably in order to help you avoid being hurt, we're hoping that you might adopt behavior and mannerisms and speech patterns and whatever that would more closely align with the way a typical boy would act and speak. Is that what we're saying here?
Yes. Yes, they would. They would correct me in certain ways. But then I came out as a homosexual male, and I really grew into more of my effeminacy because I was more comfortable with it. It was a little more accepted in that community. And I still wasn't completely aware of what transgender was up until a few years ago. And I really started getting into the media and LGBT rights back when I started college. I really started my activism and my growth in that department, where I just learned about many different things. And I remember seeing something about trans youth and thinking to myself, you know, what if? Mm. What if? And I heard something once, I can't remember who said it, but they said, someone who identifies with their born gender never questions it. And in the back of my mind, it's something that I had always really questioned, like, who am I? Where do I fit?
Hmm. I want to make sure we all understand that, because this is kind of central. So mm-hmm. in other words, let's say the more typical person never stops to think, am I really a guy?
Yeah.
I mean, it is such a given. It is so much a part of someone's being that the question never even arises.
Exactly.
For someone like you, at some point that question does arise.
Mm-hmm. It does arise, and you really begin being very confused. I denied my transgender identity for a long time. I remember always thinking in the back of my head, you know, what if this could be? What if I'm not really meant to be a man? Why am I not comfortable? Why am I not happy? But I would push those away because I was scared. Yeah. I was scared of losing family and friends and school, work, everything that I had worked so hard to gain. Mm. I was scared to lose it all because of who I was. And at some point, you really have to be true to yourself and decide you have to move forward to make yourself happy in being who you are.
For those of you just joining us, I am speaking with Alex John, a friend of mine, a Facebook friend, as it turns out, but a friend beyond Facebook even, and someone I've known for a number of years. Alex John is a transgender person making the transition from male to female. Alex was born a male and has lived most of his life, the vast majority of his life, as a male, but is now in the process of transitioning to female. And we will talk a little more specifically about that in just a little bit. Alex, could we rewind for just a moment?
Yes.
You mentioned a point in time in which you came out as a homosexual young man. At what point in your life did that happen? And could you just say a word about what that experience was like? Because among other things, I'm curious how that experience, that moment in your life, compares to this more recent moment within just the last few days, really, mm-hmm. that pretty much to the general public, you have come out now as transgender. Let's talk first about that first coming out moment.
Yeah, so I first came out in seventh grade, actually, to
wow.
my friends. I was very young, but I was pretty sure of who I was. And I actually lost a lot of friends because of it. My middle school wasn't very accepting in general. And when I came out, I really only had a couple friends left that stuck with me.
Mm.
And I'm still friends with them to this day,
mm.
which is really nice because that shows how true our friendship has lasted. But it was hard. I was bullied a lot. I went through a couple different schools trying to find out where I was safe, I suppose. I remember just being harassed in classrooms, and I remember teachers doing nothing about it, and it was a very hard time for me.
Mm.
As I got older, it got better, and I learned to stand up for myself and to realize that, you know, I don't deserve this treatment, and I will not tolerate this treatment from other people.
Mm. I'm just curious, the small handful of friends that stuck with you, were those boys or girls, and were they straight?
They were girls, and they were straight. I actually didn't start meeting other lesbian or gay people until high school.
Hmm. Can I ask what this coming out was like for your family? And did you come out to them first, or did you come out to your friends first? I only ask because that can sometimes be a very difficult choice.
Yeah.
And for instance, in the case of a sibling of mine, a brother who is gay, he actually came out to a number of his friends before he came out to us, his own family. And I can understand why he did that, but at the time that was really painful for us in a couple of different ways. What happened with you?
I came out to my friends first as well. I was terrified to lose my family. I was raised by a single mother, so growing up it was just me, my mom, and my brother. They were my world.
Mm.
And so I felt I was still coming to terms with myself, and I was scared. I was, once again, scared to lose my family, scared to lose them. But once I did come out, one thing my mother said to me was, I love you no matter what, but I'm just scared of that your life will be harder than I really want it to be.
Mm.
She worked very hard to give us a better life.
Mm.
And now it was different in a way she couldn't control.
Right.
She couldn't do anything about the way I was going to be treated or the obstacles in my path that she'd never even anticipated.
Of course. It just makes me cringe to think about, you know, that kind of pain that a parent might feel. I know exactly what you're talking about. Do you mind if I ask if your brother is younger or older and what this coming out was like in that respect?
Yeah, my brother, he's 2 years older than me. We weren't really close growing up. We actually argued all the time, like any siblings do. But
2 years apart especially, that can be really tough.
Button heads, and we're two very different personalities. He's very mathematical and analytical. I'm much more creative, kind of free spirit, so we butted heads a lot. But he was always my protector.
Hmm.
My big brother was always my protector, and he defended me in many situations of being bullied or if someone was saying something about me without hesitation.
Hmm. Even through this, then?
Even through this. We've gotten a lot closer since we've become older. We both went off to college and moved out of the house. We don't get to see each other as much, but I consider him my best friend.
Mm, wow. That's great. So you sorted this matter out of sexual orientation back when you were a seventh grader, probably earlier than a lot of people do. In some ways, do you have any... I suspect the answer is no, but I'm going to ask anyway. If you have any regrets, does part of you wish that you had waited till you were older, or did it just need to happen when it happened? I only ask because middle school is already such a tough
time
for just about everybody. I don't care whether you're gay or straight or purple or yellow. It's just such a tough time in most young people's lives.
No, I don't have any regrets. I am a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, and you learn from it, and you grow, and it makes you stronger.
Hmm.
And so I went through hard times for many points in my life, and it's just made me into the person I am today, and I'm very happy with that person.
Hmm. I know for a fact that one of the things that made a gigantic difference for you was going to Walden,
yes,
to high school. Can you just say a word about the way in which Walden was a really great place for you to be?
They cared about what you thought. Walden was really where I learned how to have my own voice and to really not only stand up for myself, but stand up for others. They fostered my ability for critical thinking, and they really made you question why you do things in the world, and it was an amazing education. I had some of the best years of my life in that high school, really finding out who I was, what I'm good at, what I want to do. And I made lifelong friends and professors were even still I talked to today.
Mm.
They really allowed you to be yourself and decide who you are and kind of figure that out without any really policing, I suppose.
Right. And my sense is that in terms of the student body, it was also it's a very different kind of culture in which one can be different from the mainstream and without fearing that difference and feeling the need to suppress it.
Yeah, we were a very diverse group. our city itself is pretty big. We have three main high schools that have like about 500 people coming into their incoming freshman class. And here we were, this little alternative school that had, my graduating class was 76.
Wow.
And everyone was so open. And since everyone got that same ability to grow, I think it really allowed us to gain strong friendships and really taught open-mindedness. Mm. And it was very, very wonderful.
Mm. I mentioned briefly, I think at the very top of the interview, that a number of years ago, while you were still at Walden, I saw you on stage in a really marvelous production of the musical Rent, and you played the role of Angel. I want you to tell our listeners about the role of Angel, who Angel is in Rent, and of course, there's a reason why I'm asking you very specifically about this particular character and you portraying Angel.
You know, and thinking back, I never had thought of that before, but I guess it was kind of some little foreshadowing. Hmm. The musical Rent is a very progressive musical about what's going on in New York during the AIDS crisis. And Angel is a character living with HIV, and she was born a woman, but she dresses and identifies as a man. She still lived her life using both in male and female personas, and it was never actually completely said that she was trans, but they always referred to her as she.
Mm.
But I played that role, and it was so much fun. I got to dance in giant white go-go boots, and it was my first time wearing a wig. I remember looking in the mirror and thinking, I look pretty, mm. and I look comfortable, and I feel comfortable. So it was a pivotal moment for me. I do miss performing, but that role, honestly, it had a great impact.
Hmm. However, at that moment in time, you had not yet sorted out this matter for you yourself personally. You were not, it doesn't sound like you were anywhere close to yourself identifying as transgender.
No, I was not at all. I did grow my hair out after that because I liked how it looked, but mm-hmm. I still never thought to myself, you know, I'm ready to be who I am. I was still confused. I was still worried about college, and I had all these other things on my mind that I never really got time to think about myself.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about kind of that mental or emotional journey from there to where you are now, to actually, you know, a few days ago, where you publicly posted on Facebook for the first time, identifying yourself as transgender. What sorts of things have you gone through in the last several years that took you from that place to the place you are now, this place where you now have sorted this out? And that has that been a concerted effort where you have sat and thought about this a lot, or has this realization just sort of come over you as time progresses?
It was an interesting journey. It wasn't always easy. I kept myself busy because I was dealing with a lot of issues of depression and self-hate and not being comfortable in my body, and I didn't understand why. And it really got worse in college when I was trying to do everything. I was working sometimes two jobs at a time. I always took 18 credits. And when I got into the social work program, I also had an internship as well as working for the department. And so I really didn't have much time to think about myself. And I was really overwhelmed. And then I decided to take a break. And that's when I really started thinking about, why am I not happy in who I am? Why do I have so much distress in my body? And what is going on with me? And then I read Janet Mock's Redefining Realness. I'd been looking at it for a while, and I never really got the courage to buy it. It's her journey to womanhood. Janet Mock is a trans woman. She works for Marie Claire in New York, and she's a very big trans activist. She's one of my heroes.
Hmm.
And I read her book, which was the first time that I had access to a trans story from start to finish.
Hmm.
And that's when I really realized, you know, there are so many parallels in my life as hers, and I really relate to this. why is that?
Hmm. So in other words, you read her story and saw yourself in it.
Yes. Yes. And it made me realize why I'm so uncomfortable, why I had so many issues with being comfortable in my body and who I am, and so battling mental issues. And it got to the point where I said to myself, you need to do what makes you happy. Mm. And I was terrified. Mm. I was so scared. I thought I was going to lose my family, my job, school, everything. And I said to myself, am I prepared for that? I tried to say, you know, worst case scenario, you do lose everyone.
Mm. So you, even after coming out, for instance, as you did in seventh grade, and your mom still loved you, your brother still loved you, and your very closest friends still loved you, and you had all kinds of other friends who fully accepted you, but this felt different. This felt like, in a sense, a much grander step, or a much greater risk to take than that, for instance.
Yeah, it was really different. It was something that, like I said, growing up, I'd never thought about. I never knew it was an option. And trans people are disproportionately marginalized within the LGBT community in general. So, for instance, if you're a trans youth, you're 20% more likely to be homeless. Trans people face a lot more violence. If you're a trans woman of color, you're 4 or 5 times more likely to be a victim of a homicide in our country. There was a lot that I was scared of.
Mm.
And I didn't know if my family was ready to accept me for me, if that was going to be okay. But,
and I don't mean to interrupt, but it just occurs to me that we're talking about a time before Bruce Jenner made his big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
This is before that marvelous new program came on called, I think, Transparent, that tells this story so touchingly. A few years back, this was not at the forefront of our collective thought in the way that it is now. So that helps us understand why, even as you were first starting to think about this as a possibility, it would be a frightening thing to contemplate bringing that to even your closest friends and family.
Yeah, and growing up, there was no one trans in the media or in anything that I saw. And so
everything that was perpetuated,
trans people were seen, they were othered.
Right.
In TV shows, anything they were portrayed, they were othered. They were seen as, a lot of times, prostitutes or freaks or something that no real-life trans person really is. No one's a freak.
Right. Or seen as comic relief or whatever. Yeah.
And so when I realized what I was, I was so scared. I didn't want to be associated with that.
Right. Can I ask you specifically about one phrase that you've used repeatedly? And I've heard this said in other interviews or things I've read. But I think it's a little hard for maybe us to understand. When you talk about being uncomfortable with your body or in your body, or whatever exactly the way you phrased that, can you be more specific about what kind of a discomfort that you were feeling? I mean, for instance, would you look in the mirror and sort of hate your own body, or would you look in the mirror and feel like that's not my body or that shouldn't be my body, or just what kind of a discomfort are we talking about there?
That's a complicated one because it's different for everyone. And it's, for me, it took many forms. I battled with depression for a long time and I'm still working through it. And a lot of that was because I wasn't comfortable. And so at times you do look in the mirror and you don't see yourself, or I just don't feel comfortable in my skin, and I never understood why.
So just something feels wrong, like that. I'm seeing that reflection in the mirror, but there's something wrong. This doesn't fit somehow.
Yeah, you just don't feel yourself.
Hmm. I think for those of us on the outside looking in, one of the hardest things to sort out is the difference between this and, for instance, somebody who finds themselves compelled to cross-dress, which just at a glance kind of looks like sort of the same thing when I'm not sure it's the same thing at all. I haven't really read anything about that at all, but I've had a couple of people in my life who where for one reason or another that was something they felt compelled to do, and it gave them some sense of satisfaction or relief. Have you done enough reading about that, or have you experienced any of that yourself maybe? But can you help us understand if that's also part of this to any extent?
So I think what will help people understand that is understanding the differences between biological sex, gender identity, and gender expression.
Mm.
So biological sex is what you're born with.
Your gender.
Your gender, well, your sex when you are born, and how you grow up, that's all biological. Gender identity is how you feel you are. Some people are cisgendered, and that means that the body you are born with, you identify as. Me, transgender, the body I want, the person I see myself as, is different than my biological sex.
It's like there was a mistake made at the hospital somehow.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's gender expression. For a long time, people really think in gender binary, so that there's male and female, and that's it. And there's certain ways to express that. A woman acts this way, a man acts that way.
When a girl plays with dolls, a boy plays with trucks.
Essentially. And then we kind of went on this linear route. Well, maybe there's some in between, and then they had it. Androgyny in the middle. So this idea of not male, not female, but a mixture of both. But I believe that gender expression is an explosion of color. There are so many ways that you can someone can identify as male and wear a dress, because that's his gender expression. It doesn't mean that he wants to be a woman because he identifies as a male.
Right.
And so really thinking about the differences between biology, gender identity, and gender expression, I think helped clear that up between trans people and someone who cross-dresses or, for instance, a drag queen. I think that helps differentiate that.
That's very helpful. And of course, you're also bringing up, quite rightly, the dizzying array of possibilities.
Yes.
When you think about all of that. And probably being clear about that is helpful for you, too, for instance, that it isn't a case for you that you don't look in the mirror and wish you were wearing women's clothes. You look in the mirror and you feel like that's the wrong body. That mm-hmm. that body does not fit who I am.
Yes.
Hmm. So tell us about the experience then of finally coming out in this respect. How different was it from what you experienced in seventh grade, that coming out in terms of your sexual orientation?
It was still scary. I came out to my best friend first. I was having a really, really low day for my emotions, and I was hurting a lot. And I called him and I said, you know, will you love me no matter what? And this was me finally admitting to myself, this is who you are. This is something you have to do. And I said, you know, I am prepared to leave everything. Leave my family, leave my city, in order to be who I am. And this is who I am. And I told him that I wanted to transition from man to woman, that I consider myself a trans woman. And he said, I will love you no matter what, no matter who you are. You're still the same person. And he told me he's proud of me to grow. And so that was really a wonderful experience. It was scary to admit that out loud. That was my first time really ever saying it out loud. And that was really good. And so I slowly started coming out to my close friends, the people that I saw every day, a few of my coworkers, people that I really had a genuine friendship and really trusted. And I got...
And, sorry, and when was this? How long ago was this?
Oh, I came out to close friends about 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay.
And then slowly started coming out to more and more people. And finally, about 2 months ago, I came out to my parents. And that was this very, very difficult thing. I was sure of who I was. I said, you know, this is me. I can do this. And so I invited them over for dinner. We had an awesome, pleasant dinner. I cooked for them and we caught up. And then I said, you know, there's something I need to tell you. And I laid down all the information about me wanting to transition. I answered any questions they had. They were so supportive. There was a lot of crying because me and my mom are criers. We're emotional people. But she said, you know, she's scared for me, especially seeing all the violence that are trans people face in the media, and seeing, knowing that trans women of color are even more likely to be victims of violence because people don't understand or they're scared.
Right.
And so she was scared, but she's supportive. She told me, I want you to be happy. And she understands that I'm not really going to be happy until I start this journey and become myself. And so that I came to my parents after close friends, and I didn't decide to come out publicly until about a month after that, which was a couple days ago,
right?
Like 3 or 4.
Right. Yeah. That post on Facebook, and I have, in all my years on Facebook, I have never seen so many likes of a single post as all of the people who clicked on the like icon saying they liked that post, and the beautiful expressions of support from this gigantic chorus of supporters. That had to be overwhelming for you, I should think.
Yeah, it was incredible, and I'm so grateful for the amazing people that I have in my life. It was amazing to feel so loved by everyone, even though so much of society tells us that trans people shouldn't exist and that who we are is not okay and not valid. So to have an overwhelming amount of friends and family say how much they love me and support me and are excited for me. And when I started my blog, it was a recommendation by my brother to kind of, you know, help me understand what I'm going through, as well as get people educated about what's going on in my life and a way to involve other people. And so I started the blog, and I thought maybe nothing's going to happen with it. I'll get like 2 readers or something. And suddenly when I put it on Facebook, everyone started reading it. And have 3 posts being read over 1,000 times in over 17 different countries at this point. And that's so grateful that people care. They genuinely care and want to know about my journey and about my life. And so it's been awesome, and I could not ask for a better experience when it came to coming out publicly.
One of the things I asked you before we went on the air, and I specifically asked you because I sort of wanted to know whether or not it was a happy ending or not, was the matter of your fraternity at Carthage, Phi Kappa Sigma. And I think the front page of your Facebook account right now, at least, is a picture of you with a bunch of your fraternity brothers. So I was prompted to ask you, what in the world did your frat brothers make of this? And the answer is?
They're so supportive. I joined Phi Kappa Sigma at Carthage my freshman year, and I have become so close with my brothers. I live with a couple of them now, and we're all just they're so supportive, and they're so loving. And I came out to them in a letter because I was scared. And I wrote a long letter saying how much the fraternity means to me and how much I love them and how I hope they understand that this is something that I have to go through and this is who I am. And they all were incredibly supportive. They simply said, well, now we have a sister. And they ask me how I'm doing. They question, you know, what stage am I in this journey? What's going on in your life? We want to know. We care. It's been amazing.
Wow. and kind of flies in the face of what a lot of people might assume. Maybe you assume too. I mean, sounds like you were very nervous and pleasantly surprised, though, by their acceptance.
Greek life in this country is very looked down upon, and it's one of the best experiences of my life. Mm. You really gain a true brotherhood and great friendships, and they're like my family.
So tell us where you are on this journey. This is a journey, in a sense, that you've been on for a while, maybe without even knowing it, but now, of course, in earnest, this transition begins. Your most recent blog post, your third, I think, talked about, in a sense, going to the doctor for the very first time for this very specific purpose, for the purpose specifically of trying to begin a process known as HRT. Mm-hmm. What is HRT?
It's hormone replacement therapy. And so my body naturally produces testosterone. Because I want to change who I'm born as, I have to undergo hormone replacement, and they'll start putting estrogen in my body. So I went to my doctor on Friday to give a little consultation and say, you know, how do I even start this? This is not something that they really have a handbook on or something that you can easily look up. And so I wanted to talk to my doctor about it. And he told me I have to go up to a bigger city for it because my hospital doesn't have a transgender endocrinology program for it. And so I have to go to this bigger hospital, and I have to get a psych eval and blood tests, and they have to make sure that your body is healthy before you can even start hormones. But then the hormones will gradually start changing my body, and I'll begin to change into a more of a woman.
What kind of a process are we talking about in terms of length? And are there other things that need to happen to sort of spirit you along this journey?
Yeah, so for me, I will be on hormones for the rest of my life once I start them, because my body doesn't naturally produce estrogen. Not every trans person decides to take hormones, and that doesn't invalidate anyone else. So every trans person's experience is different, and so I'll take this time to say my experience is unique. Not every trans person is the same, and one person can't really represent such a diverse group.
Right.
But what's important is to be able to have outlets to hear our trans voices, to gain some education and growth and understanding. So for me, it's important, I feel, for my journey to womanhood, to start hormones and to begin changing my body to be more of a woman. The same goes for surgeries. Not every trans person decides to have surgeries to change their body. Some do, some don't. It's all on personal preference and what makes you feel more comfortable or yourself. And so for me, I'm just trying to start hormones right now.
Yeah, you wrote in the blog that, you know, you had sort of, I suppose, this is a little simplistic, but I suppose in a sense you hope to walk into your doctor's office and walk out with a bottle of hormone pills or something. I mean, you were really hoping to get rolling.
That's what everyone hopes. Yeah. You know, once you decide to start this journey, it gets exciting, especially having so much support. You are excited to really discover who you are and start living your life how you truly feel you should. And obviously, that's not how the system works. Our healthcare system is incredibly complicated. I'm just blessed enough to even have healthcare.
Right.
So many trans youth don't have access to healthcare at all, or many insurance companies don't consider any hormone replacement therapy or surgeries all to be elective. And so it's incredibly expensive in our country to even begin starting.
So your insurance, at least to some extent, does cover some of this.
Yes, I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah, no kidding. So at some point, will you begin dressing as a woman?
See, that's a funny question, because the majority of my clothes actually are women's clothes. I don't wear very, very men's clothes in general, just because I'm a very petite frame. I'm very short. I'm very skinny. I don't have a lot of muscle mass on me. And so women's clothes have always fit me better. I mean, I'm not running around in a dress or anything right now, but I wear women's clothes, I wear jumpers, and my expression has always been more feminine in general. And I've been comfortable with that. It was actually in my blog I wrote about that I get mistaken for a woman all the time before. I worked at a coffee shop for 4 years, and I can't count the number of times someone said, "She's helping me," or "Thank you, ma'am," or anything. And I've always just brushed it off my shoulder before, and now I invite it in more to affirm that I'm a woman, affirm that that's authentic in who I am, and that's how people can see me.
Are there any moments of doubt about that? Are there ever even fleeting moments where you think you have jumped to some kind of conclusion, or by and large, do you remain very steadfast? I mean, absolutely certain of this.
I don't have any doubts in who I am and my identity as a woman. I have doubts that I have the courage or the strength to do this and to really put myself out there and be who I am authentically, unapologetically to the rest of the world. Because it's a scary thing. But then I look to those supporters, my family, my friends. I also look at other trans women, people like Janet Mock, Laverne Cox. They started these hashtags, Girls Like Us and Trans Is Beautiful, that with the click of a button, you're seeing hundreds and hundreds of trans people all around the world that are living as they are.
Wow.
And you think to yourself, I can do this.
Right.
And it helps give you strength.
Sure. And you're fortunate to live at a time when really nobody needs to feel utterly alone, no matter what their experience, even though, you know, your own journey, as you rightly said, is your own unique journey. But 20 years ago, someone in your position would not have any idea of who else was really out there in the rest of the world. What are your thoughts on the media frenzy surrounding the transition from Bruce Jenner to Caitlyn Jenner? Do you see it as helpful, or do you feel like the conversation needs to be of a different nature?
I think it is helpful. Visibility in the trans community is one of the most important things that we can have. Visibility in the media, in our heroes, because so much of society tells us we shouldn't exist or that we aren't valid. To see someone that we really considered, she was an Olympic hero. She's on TV all the time, and to see her transition and her grow into the woman that she really is incredibly affirming for many trans people. And so there's a quote that Janet Mock said that is, "Let's celebrate Caitlyn, but also use that as a conversation starter to talk about other things that trans people face."
Good point. In fact, one thing I appreciate about your blog is that I think nearly every entry has included at the bottom links to places on the web where there's all kinds of information. So for somebody reading who is maybe grappling with some of these same issues, I mean, you're not just doing this to make yourself famous. You're doing this to really try to be of genuine help to somebody who's been where you are or might be, or is just struggling to understand that. If people want to seek out your blog, what's the best thing to do?
Just Google transadventureinwisco.wordpress.com, and it should come up. I think that's about it.
Transadventure in Wisco, that's one word,
.wordpress.com.
And let me say, Alex is a very, very fine writer.
Thank you.
Has done a wonderful job of introducing us to this important story. Alex, I am really grateful to you for agreeing to sit down with me and have this conversation, a conversation which I am certain our Morning Show listeners have found to be interesting, and I'm sure for some of our listeners also very, very helpful. And I wish you nothing but the very best as this journey continues, and I hope we can have further conversations in the future.
Thanks, Greg.
I'm Gregory Berg. And tomorrow on The Morning Show, I'm deeply honored to have as a guest Linda Fleshinsky, a very familiar voice to many of you who listen to WGTD on the weekends. She is also a very fine writer, and we will be talking with